Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it.
For the revelations await an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will stand by his faithfulness. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest. Because he is as greedy as the grave, and like death is never satisfied, he gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. How long must this go on?
Will not your creditors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their prey, because you have plundered many nations. The peoples who are left will plunder you, for you have shed human blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Derek and Kelly and the Wee family. And congratulations to those boys and girls who knew all of the kings of Judah. I certainly couldn't do that. Should we give them a round of applause again? Absolutely fantastic. And can I add my welcome to that of Charles? My name is Al. I'm one of the associates here. And together, as Charles has said, this is an all-age service today, which means that the service is a bit more interactive, and the sermon as well is a bit shorter and a bit more interactive. We're continuing our sermon series in the book of Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk was a prophet, and I know that some of you have been studying all about the prophets. So can you give me the names of any prophets at all? Anyone know the names of any prophets? Elijah, yeah? Elisha, yeah, Elijah and Elisha. What was that? Okay, another one over there as well. So Elijah, Elisha, many, many others. And Habakkuk was a prophet just like that as well. And in fact, we're very fortunate today because we've flown the prophet Elijah in and we have him with us. So come on up stage, the prophet Habakkuk, I should say. This is the prophet Habakkuk.
I am a prophet. I declare the word of God. And I remind God's people of the covenant, the promises that God made with them, and they with him.
Very good to have you with us, Prophet Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk lived during the times of the kings of Judah. Now, I know that you've also been studying all about the kings of Judah. So I want to ask you a question just to test you. Were the kings of Judah mostly good or mostly bad? Mostly bad, you're absolutely right. Now, there were 20 in total. You sang and you know their names. But does anyone know that how many of the 20 were good? Eight, yes, exactly right. So 8 of the 20 were good, and 12 of the 20 were not very good at all. Now, we've got one of the kings of Judah over here.
Yeah,
come on up, kings
of Judah. I'm the king, I'm the king, look at me, I'm the best.
So these kings of Judah weren't very good. And as a result, Judah wasn't a very nice place to live.
Yeah, I'm the king. I can do what I want. So give me that, Habakkuk. You're a loser. Take that. Ha ha. Yeah, eat the ground.
Well, Judah wasn't a very nice place to live at all. And as a result, the prophet Habakkuk had a question. He had a big question for God.
I have a big question. Dear God, why do you allow these terrible kings in Judah? We've had so many bad kings, and they all do what they want. They bully, they lie, they do that. It's terrible. And because they're so bad, everyone else follows their example. God, why aren't you doing something about this? God, don't you care about your people?
So Habakkuk had this big question, this big complaint for God, and God answered his question, and he was going to do something about all of these terrible kings of Judah, except it wasn't the thing that Habakkuk was expecting, because God was going to send the Babylonians.
I am the king of Babylon. Quiet! I am the greatest king. Right now, I am busy conquering all the nations of the world with my armies. Watch out, because I'm coming to get you. And you. And you. And you. And you. And most of all, you. I've seen your city of Jerusalem, and I'm coming to take it for myself with my armies. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you can do about it.
Well, poor old Habakkuk was now more confused than ever.
Well, God, I don't really understand. From my point of view, the Babylonians are much worse. I mean, he's much worse than him. Why would you send us these violent, crazy, smelly...
Who are you calling smelly?
Horrible Babylonians to sort out our land. If you're a good God, if you care about justice, if you care about your people, why are you doing this? Look, I know you're a good God. I just don't really understand what's going on. Please help me.
Well, Habakkuk was a bit confused. He was a bit angry, but at least he was being honest with God, and at least he was keeping on trusting God, even though he didn't understand everything. And God answered his question, and what he said was, look, I've been warning and warning and warning the people of Judah and the kings of Judah time and time again through all of my prophets over about 200 years, and they've just not listened to me. Well, finally, I'm going to have to do something. These people are going to have to face the consequences and have to face punishment for what they've done. And so I'm sending the Babylonians. The Babylonians will attack Jerusalem and many, many people would die.
Ha!
But even though Jerusalem will fall, in the end, something far more serious is going to happen to the Babylonians. But even amidst so much dying and so many things going wrong, God said there's still going to be good news.
Well, what's that? From my end, it seems mostly like bad news.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Prophet Habakkuk. Actually, we see the good news in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. You should have remembered this because you wrote it after all.
I remember these words.
Will you read it for us?
I'd love to. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness.
Thank you very much, Habakkuk. And thank you to the kings as well. Should we give them a round of applause? So do you see what it's saying? The enemy is puffed up. He's proud. That was the kings of Babylon. They were puffed up and proud. They didn't trust in God. No, instead they trusted in their armor. And they trusted in their chariots. And they trusted in their armies, and they trusted in all of their foreign gods. The thing was, in the end, those things couldn't keep them safe. Eventually, they died. The same was true for the kings of Judah. They copied the Babylonians and the other kings. They trusted in all of those things as well, but in the end, those things couldn't keep them safe either. But the good news is for God's people, for all of those who trust or who have faith in God and in his Messiah, Jesus Christ, then in the end, they could be safe. They could be absolutely safe. Now, that's the good news of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Now, actually, that verse is quoted all over the New Testament, and most famously in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. Now, I know that this is a very well-known verse, and so I'd like us to all say it together. So we're going to say this together. 3, 2, 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And you see there the Apostle Paul is quoting the prophet Habakkuk. The righteous will live by faith. That's the quotation. You see, the Bible says that eventually this world will have to face the consequences and face punishment for all of the wrong that it's done. God is going to send Jesus back in order to bring judgment. And on that day, either we will have to face the consequences for what we've done, or if we're trusting in the right thing, then we can go to be with Jesus forever in the new heavens and the new earth. Now, I don't know what you're trusting in. Many people trust in many, many different things. Some people trust in their family. They think, well, if I come from a good family, then surely God will have to let me into heaven. Other people trust in the good things that they've done. They think, well, I'm kind to people. I'm not a criminal. I don't do bad things. Surely God will have to let me into heaven. Other people trust in the church that they go to. They think, well, if I go to a nice church and I sing good songs and I listen to sermons, surely God will have to let me into heaven. Or other people don't believe in God at all, and they put their trust in other places. Maybe they trust in science. They think, well, science disproves that God even exists. I don't need to think about the future and meeting him. Other people perhaps put their trust in other things, like perhaps money, and they're interested in the power and the pleasure and the security and the comfort that money brings. Now, none of those things are wrong. It's right that we should care for our families. It's right that we should do good things. Coming to church is good. And it's not wrong to be interested in science or money. All of those are good things. But none of those things can save us on the final day when we meet God, because none of those things can take away the bad things that we've already done. Doing good deeds can't take away the bad things that we've already done. Instead, the only way that we can be safe when God sends that punishment in the future is if we're trusting, or if we have faith, in the words of the prophet Habakkuk, in Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he took those consequences for the things that we've done which are wrong. He took that punishment so that everyone who trusts, everyone who believes, everyone who has faith in him can be absolutely sure that they will be saved. Now, that was the good news for the prophet Habakkuk. You see, even though Habakkuk lived in really troubled times, even though he lived during a time of war and of injustice and of oppression, even though God was going to send the Babylonians in the future as punishment, nevertheless, all of God's people who kept trusting in him would be safe in the end. Well, the same is true for us. We also live in troubled times, times of injustice and of oppression and of greed and of war and of trade wars and of cold wars and of nuclear armament and disarmament. More than that, God in the future says he's going to send punishment for all the people who keep rejecting him. But we know that if we trust in Jesus and in his death and resurrection, then we can be absolutely sure that we're safe. Well, we're going to remind ourselves of that one more time by all together saying again Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. So, 3, 2, 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that even though we live in troubled times and we look around us and we see greed and injustice and war, and we feel that suffering of living in troubled times. Thank you that we know that you're coming back to sort out this world. And thank you that we know that the good news is that whoever trusts in you is made righteous and will be absolutely safe and can be with you forever in heaven. Amen. Well, we'll have a short moment to reflect, and then I'll hand back over to Ryan and to the music group.